So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want to talk to you tonight about my destiny is freedom. My destiny is freedom. Now, Sunday morning, we're going to begin a series entitled "Coming Home" or "Come Home for Christmas." And I'm believing God, and I've shared this with you last week and Sunday, that I want you to take some time to pray fast for some of the people that you're believing to come home for Christmas, to come home to Jesus. Come home to church, yes, but more than important to come home to church is come home to Jesus. Come home to Jesus, amen. Now, I'm a firm believer that if God is your father, the church ought to be your mother. And we get into some talks about whether people who are Christians need to go to church. Well, let me just go ahead and say this. Yes, they do. They do. It's hard enough to serve God when you don't have people encouraging you together. We need one another. Look at your neighbor and say, I might not like you, but I need you. Amen. That's some truth. You need one another. You need one another. I need you and you need me. We need one another. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 126, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation today. And it simply says this, when the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. It was like a dream when they brought him back from exiles. We were filled with laughter and we sang for joy, and the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy. Verse 4 says, restore our fortunes, O Lord, as streams renew the desert. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word. God, I pray that you would let us hear what the Spirit would have to say to us individually. Lord, you have the power. As we present, or as I present what you've placed in my spirit today, that as I present it, Lord, that you can speak a word to one and a different word to another and another and another. So God, I pray today that let us hear what the Spirit would have us to hear, that we may understand that our destiny is freedom. In the name of Jesus, and the church said, amen. Amen. When I hear the word destiny, I always get a sense of excitement because God has called us to freedom. And when you talk about destiny, that is a destination. And I know that God has called, if you're a child of God, he has called you to freedom. Wait a minute, Pastor. Freedom from what? From freedom from whatever it is that holds you back and holds you down. The thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And so that just simply tells me that anything that hinders me from enjoying my salvation is something that I don't need in my life. Now, if you've been in church long, you might have heard people say things like, oh, this is it is so joyous in serving the Lord. Or, you know, I find great joy. And you may be there and go, you know, I've lost my joy. I've lost my intent. Can I tell you that God hasn't moved away from you? God is moving, but he hasn't moved away from you. It's you who have moved. And so, but you may look at that and go, I've never really experienced that. You know, maybe you were like me. When I got saved, I didn't get saved because I loved Jesus. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. We don't like talking about hell. You know, because everybody, how many knows that in today's world, everybody goes to heaven. All dogs go to heaven. But if you read this, it doesn't say that. What it does say is that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. What it does say is that God will divide those who are righteous from those who are unrighteous. Well, Pastor, I don't want to hear that. I know, me neither. I'd like to be able to live any old kind of way and still get make it to heaven. But there is a standard of living. That you and I, if we called ourselves Christian, we should live above the fray. We should live with a distinction on our lives. You know, when you do something and nobody, if you sin and what you do doesn't take anybody by surprise, right? Listen, I was out fishing with somebody who was, and I'm going to use this, don't write me any letters. I know theology, but who I call half-saved. You know, they know Jesus, but they ain't got yet sanctified. So I was out fishing many years ago with a guy, and he was drinking as we were fishing. Pastor, you was with somebody who drinks? Yeah, Jesus did too. I wasn't drinking with them, but I was with them. And so he said, Pastor, he started coming to church and wanted to take me fishing. We was fishing. He said, Pastor, he said, you want something to drink? I said, yeah, hand me one of the Michelob Lights. And he went. And then he turned back and goes, no judgment. I go, I'm just messing with you, dude. Give me a Gatorade. But you know, wouldn't it have been sad if he had just went? Wouldn't it have took him by surprise, right? Does your life take anybody by surprise? Now, listen, I don't want it to be that you do right and it takes people by surprise. That's the opposite. That's not what I'm going for here. That's not what I'm going for. But what I'm trying to get us to understand or talk a little bit about tonight is that freedom is, my destiny is freedom because freedom is the result of the cross. I don't have to be bound to anything because of the cross has set me free. I don't have to be bound to any habit. I don't have to be bound to any bondage because the cross has set me free. And the Bible said, Jesus said, he that the Son hath set free is free indeed. So I want to appeal to you today to look at your life and look at what holds you back and holds you down and holds you from serving God wholeheartedly. And that might be something that you need to let go, something that you need to lay down, something that you need to get free from. I don't always walk in that freedom. The freedom that I have, I don't always walk in that freedom. The joy that I have, I don't always walk in that joy. Just because it's available to you doesn't mean that you walk in it. It is a purposeful, missional mindset that you have to get in, that you walk in those areas. See, sometimes you never feel like this, but sometimes I feel like an outcast, far removed from God in his presence. You're the pastor. If you feel that way, what are we going to do? You're going to know you're normal. You're going to know you're normal, but being normal, that doesn't mean that you stay there. That means that you do something to get yourself back on track. Now, the scriptures make it clear that Jesus came to set us free. Isaiah 61 and 1 states that Jesus came, and here's what it says, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. So ask yourself the question, am I a prisoner? Am I in captivity? Am I brokenhearted? See, that's what the enemy wants to do. All of life, all of the tragedy that the devil tries to make happen and put on you is to cause you to have a brokenhearted so you can't serve God to the fullest. You know, everything that the devil brings at you is to cause you to go into some type of captivity so that you can't serve God to its fullest or become a prisoner. And I want to use this phrase. I've used it before, but there's a phrase that I like to talk about, that there are so many prisoners walking around in the promised land. It's like you're walking around at the Willy Wonka chocolate factory and all of this candy around you, but you can't touch it because you feel bound. You're a prisoner walking around in the promised land. Can I tell you that your destination ought to be freedom? I'm not going to let anybody or anything cause me to lose out on what God has for me, because God wants me to walk in the fullness of His mercy, the fullness of His grace. And so therefore, I understand that I've got to walk in freedom. Point number one, if you're taking notes. Why do we go into captivity rather than walking in freedom? Pastor, if I had a choice, I would choose freedom. Well, no, you do have a choice. But just because you make the choice doesn't mean that you walked in the right direction. Just because you made the choice doesn't mean that, you know, happy birthday, everything's going to go smooth. We are held captive in so many different ways. Well, what causes captivity? I believe, now, and you know, I believe that we go into captivity, or we could even say exile. Because some people are not in captivity, they're just away from God. And listen to me closely. You can sit on these chairs Sunday after Wednesday after Sunday after Wednesday and still not operate in the fullness of what God has for you. How can you say that, Pastor? Because I know what it is to stand behind this pulpit and not walk in the fullness of the freedom and the liberty that God has set me free. And I've seen so many people who sit in the congregation, but yet sit there or stand there or even worship there bound. And if you talk to older Christians, they'll tell you, well, that's just part of it. The next time an older Christian tells you that, you tell them that pastor said, shut up. Because it ain't got to be that way. It's just like married folks. You know, you've been married a long time. The passion just kind of runs out. It ran out because you wasn't doing what you're supposed to do. It don't have to run out. I see couples looking at each other. It don't have to run out. It's your choice. It's your choice, and you got to choose what you're going to do. All right, so here, let me give you three ways. And this ain't the whole message. This is just kind of sub points. Let me give you three ways. Three ways how we go into captivity. Number one, of course, Satan. Sometimes we give him too much credit, and other times we don't give him enough credit. I love my daddy used to tell a story about the saints went out of church and the devil was sitting on the stoop of the church crying. And one of the saints stopped and asked the devil, what are you crying about? And he said, I didn't do half the things them Christians are blaming on me. And there's some truth to that. You know, because anything bad, we like to blame Satan or the government. Isn't that the truth? I'm the government. I'm here to help you. Anyway, we like to blame on Satan. If it's bad, we love to blame Satan, because we know that the Bible says that he is the prince of the air. He's the prince of this earth. All right, we know that. But then there's another one that we usually fail to talk about, and that is self. Matter of fact, there's a message I preached many years ago on the three kings. And the three kings, there are three kings in your life. King Satan. Let me tell you, when Jesus prayed to get over Satan's will, the Bible said he prayed the longest. He prayed for 40 days to get over the devil's will. Right? That was found when the Spirit took him out to fasting and the devil came and he had to pray for 40 days. But now how does that happen, Pastor? Let me talk about Satan for just a moment. I don't like to give him too much credit. But what happens is he blinds us or he sets a trap for us. 2 Timothy 2:26 says that some have been held captive by him to do his will. Oh, I know them people, Pastor. The devil just used them. Do you think that the devil has never used you? Now, did anybody go, devil, here I am, use me? No, man, you don't do that. But you get trapped or you allow the devil to use you. There have been a few times that as soon as it happened, I realized, oh my God, I was just a tool of the devil. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I the only one? All right, there's four of us. Thank you. That man, as soon as I did it, I thought, man, I just let the devil use me to what was it? It wasn't bad. No, I didn't go shoot somebody up with crack or shoot somebody up with heroin or make them smoke crack. No, but I just realized that the devil just used me right then. Oh. Well, Pastor, what did you do? I really don't remember. But I just remember a couple of times when I went, man, I just let the devil use me. But then there's self. Then there's king self. And we don't like to talk about king self. Let me tell you something about kings. How do you know about kingdoms, Pastor? Because a kingdom is anywhere where the king's voice is obeyed without hesitation or question. Years ago in the kingdom, you didn't question the king. The king said it, you went and did it. So in a kingdom, only the king gets a vote. And if you're doing it, if you make a decision, guess what? You're the king of that area of your life. And when you're the king, you're responsible for the protection and the provision of that kingdom. That's why it's hard to provide because God is not king of our finances, we are. And if we are king of our finances, then we are responsible for the protection and the provision of our finances. Some of us, God is not king of our marriage, we are. So if we are the king of our marriage, it is up to us to protect and provide for our marriage, and you can't do it. For your family, it is up to you. If you're king, whatever area it is, you're the king. If I decide that, I can pastor this church better than Jesus, then I am responsible for the provision and the protection of this church. And listen, Jesus, I know I can't do it. If you don't do it, I sure can't do it. So, but we leave ourselves out. But we're drawn into captivity because of habitual disobedience or rebellion. Lord, I love you, but I'm not going to do what you asked me to do. And every time we go to this mountain, Lord, I love you, but I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. Why aren't you going to do it? Because I don't want to do it. Well, then you can't really say you love him. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right? Matter of fact, 1 Samuel 15:23 says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Yes, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be handled. I'm not going to be whatever the case is. All right, then here comes, of course, the last one is God. If God is your king, then he's responsible for the provision and protection of every area of your life. All right, so, and sometimes, well, Pastor, why, if you're saying that sometimes we go into captivity, are you saying that God, sometimes God will allow us to go into exile but not captivity? Why? Because he wants to train us, wants to test us, to endure, for our endurance to be built up, and he wants to teach us to trust him. Some of our biggest problems in life is we don't trust anybody, not even God. And we've got to come back to a basis where we trust people and trust God. But pastor, if I trust people, they're going to let me down. Let me help you out. Absolutely, they are going to. If you trust me long enough, I'm going to let you down. But if you trust Jesus, he will never let you down. But let me tell you the other side of that. If you don't ever trust anybody, then you're never going to get the love that that person could have had gave you. You could have never got the fulfillment of having that person in your life. So today, whether we are in whatever the cause of our captivity or our exile, I want to come by and tell you tonight that Jesus is in the house and he knows how to set you free and calls you to triumph over everything that is causing you to be second best or less than God wants you to be. Well, glory. Now, the question is this: do you know how to find freedom? Do you know how to find freedom? Do you know how to escape captivity, or have you just given up trying? How many times as a pastor have I heard these words, well, this is just the way I am. Well, the way that you were born, you pooped on yourself all the time. But you changed, hopefully. Right? When you were born, you know, you didn't start out by sharing. Some of you still haven't learned. But anyway, but you understand, you cannot just say, this is the way I am. This is the way God made me. No, God made you, yes. God made you in a certain way, yes. But life has a way of messing up the design of God if you don't go back to the book and begin to realize that God has designed me in a special way. And if I go back to the book and I submit myself unto God, if I submit myself unto his will, he will always cause me to triumph. He will always cause me to come to the fullness of my purpose. See, I believe that this is the time to experience release. It's the end of the year. We've only got a few more weeks, man, to a change of the new year. And I believe that there's something significant to a new year. There's like a breath of fresh air that comes on a new year. You know, if this year's been tough, you begin to start looking to the new year in the name of Jesus, this new year. So, but here's what I want to tell you. Quit looking for December 31st and start looking for December 8th. Start looking for December 4th. Because start looking that today is the day of salvation. I don't have to wait for the calendar year to change in order for me to decide. I'm going to make a decision today that I'm going to come into the fullness of what God has for me. God's here. He's ready to bring us into our destiny, our freedom. Specifically, I want to focus though today on two major areas, and I'll be done. First of all, what to do. Point number two, what to do in captivity. All right, well, pastor, I'm not completely free, and I realize that, so what do I do? Well, there are three things that are needed. And now, Babylonian captivity was different than Egyptian captivity. Egyptian captivity is that they held you in bondage with chains. They held you in bondage with whips and an army. That's where they held you in bondage. But in Babylonian captivity, they didn't use chains and whips. They used methodology. They got a hold of your mind. And they said, if I can change the way that you think, then I can hold you bondage. So the devil, if he can get you to thinking that I cannot change, then he's got you. If he can get you thinking that no matter what happens in my life with Jesus, I will always be this way, then he's got you. I've come by to tell you that the devil is a liar. And you don't have to stay the same way you came into this building. You don't have to stay the same way. So how do we do it? Let me give you three more things. Number one is this. We must realize that God must start the process. Look at verse number four. Verse number four. I'm looking for it. Hang on. There it is. It says, restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. We got to realize that God starts the process, whatever the reason for our captivity. We must recognize that outside of Jesus Christ and his intervention, there is no possibility of finding freedom. You'll always be this way. You're right, unless Jesus. You're always going to battle this. Maybe so, but Jesus. You're always going to battle this situation. Maybe so, but Jesus. Jesus has the ability. Jesus has the power. If you allow him to come into your life and transform your life by the renewing of your mind through the word of God, that he can transform your life into something more better than where it is today. But you know what? Here's the problem. We're going along. You know, we come to Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now I'm saved. Think about this part. If nothing else hits, think about this part. All right, we're headed to hell. Hell. And then you meet Jesus. You ask him into your life. Now, whoo, you're headed for heaven. Wonderful. Wonderful. Now here's where we mess up. Because now we're headed for heaven. And we're driving along and Jesus is driving and we're just talking. We're singing, Jesus, take the wheel. We're just singing along and praising the Lord. But somewhere along the line, we start inching closer and closer to the wheel. And then we start singing a new song, Jesus, I got the wheel. And we let Jesus get into the co-pilot and we become the pilot. And that's when we're in trouble. Why? Because we don't know the destinations. We don't know what's about to happen in our life, but Jesus does. And if you will let him keep control, him keep driving, then you will not go down the paths of destruction. There are so many people, and I've met them, man, I've pastored them, that they are miserable serving Jesus. Why? They know they have just enough of Jesus that they can't enjoy sin. And they got just enough of sin that they can't enjoy Jesus. You can only straddle the fence for so long before you run into a fence post. And then you got to make a decision. All right? The word restore in this verse carries two main ideas. It means to cause to return. A movement back. I love this. A movement back to the point of departure. At what point in time did you take the wheel and tell Jesus to go to the co-pilot side? Jesus is my co-pilot. No, baby, he better be your pilot. At what point in time, where did you depart? And listen to me, church. I hope you hear my heart. Because at some point in time in our lives, we can usually trace it back to where we started veering off. Oh, it was that event. It was that. But sometimes you can't. Sometimes you just, I don't know how I got here. I just wound up here. But here's the cool part. Once you realize that you're lost, once you realize that you veered off course, once you've realized, listen, you can't get back there by yourself. But if you will give Jesus the wheel, he will make a way where there seems to be no way. He'll make rivers in the desert. He'll cause you to come out of the wilderness with a high hand if you just let him guide you out of that process and guide you into the fullness of what he has for you. So it says, a movement back toward the point of departure. Our captivity happens when we get off track. You know, I try not to go down them too often these days, but I was somewhere today and I put in the GPS where I needed to go today I wanted to get back to here and so it was taking me down a road and I didn't recognize the road, and then the next thing I know, I was on a pig trail. How many know what I'm talking about? I was on a dirt road pig trail with ruts. And I'm just thinking, oh Jesus. And I'm like, I ain't trying to back out of this bad boy. So I'm just going through. I was somewhere in Leisure Acres, you know. So I was like, I'm just going through. And so I got in the ruts and tried to, and you know what happened? Is the ruts tried to take control of my wheels. Your default is to go back to the way you were. Without Jesus a hold of the wheel, then your default is to fall right back into the ruts from which God delivered you out of. That's what happens. I just want to go do this. That's not what God's called you to do. I just want to go back to that. I don't know what to do, so I fall back into that same rut. And that is a plot of the enemy. The devil is a liar. Don't you do it. You let Jesus continue to hold on to the wheel, and you hold on to Jesus, and he'll fight the ruts. And it might be a fight, but he'll get you out of that road. That's when captivity happens, when we get off track. I know I didn't do it today, thank God. But I remember when I didn't know how to drive on those roads. And the next thing you know, you're high-centered. Ooh, the wheels are going. You didn't navigate the road right. And some of you tried to navigate your own road. Now you're just spinning your wheels and not enjoying life. And that's a plot of the enemy. I've come by to tell you that Jesus is here tonight to set you free, to get you off that rut. Listen. Think about the language in verse 4, number 4. Return us as the streams in the south. John chapter 7, verse 37 says, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture says, not as mama says, as the scripture says. If you believe in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, so let's go back. So what to do in captivity? We must realize that God has to start the process. All right, number two is this. We must respond with tears, brokenness, and repentance. Verses 5 and 6. Now, I'm going first. If you notice, I'm going first 4, 5, and 6. Then I'll go back and hit one in a minute. But these verses lay the foundation of our destiny to freedom. You know, we have lived, and I understand, man. I've been the pastor of a church for almost 30 years, but I was raised in a church all of my life, and I've seen it, man. I've heard it. Even though I was raised in church, I never accepted Christ till I was 18 years of age. So I've seen it, and I know what I'm talking about. I know that years past that we put too much emphasis on, you know, if you wasn't crying, you really wasn't sorry. Right? So we'd take you to the altar, man, especially in Pentecostal churches. They'd take you to the altars, and they'd shake you till you spit. Cry out. Hang on. Nothing on the other side. Hold on. Wait a minute, what am I doing? Holding on or hanging out? Or what am I doing here? Let go. And you was as confused as the termite in a yo-yo. But I believe that the modern church has gotten away from this thing called repentance. We've gotten away from this thing called brokenness. We've gotten away from this thing that we call that we call tears and brokenness and repentance. But if while you're in captivity, that's what needs to happen. You need to respond, not with fake tears. I've seen enough of them too. But in the midst of our captivity, we must be broken. We must weep over our condition. Not, God, I'm sorry that I got caught doing this. But weep over the fact that, God, I've sinned against you. Or, God, I'm sorry that I have, that my passion has waned. I'm sorry that my passion is not to its fullest. Let me just help you with your passion. If your passion is waning a little bit, let me help you. Start serving somewhere. But then be careful, because if all you do is serve, then you begin to get puffed up and burned out. So you need that balance. There comes that ugly word again. See, in the midst of our captivity, we got to weep over our condition, and we must repent. I believe that our seed here is that of sowing our tears, sowing our repentance, sowing our brokenness. The Bible said a broken and contrite spirit, he will nowise cast aside. If you come to Jesus repentant, if you come to Jesus crying, if you come to Jesus, and again, I'm not talking about no fake tears, but if you come to Jesus repentant, he is faithful. faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and deliver us out of our iniquity. Whew. The third one is this. We've got to return to our first love. Remember what the word restore means? To bring us back to where we got off track? We probably got off track when we ceased to love Jesus the way that we did at first. You remember when somebody did something for you and you were so appreciative? You were so thankful? But over time, kind of forgot. If you didn't forget, you just kind of took it for granted. Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks. Go back to your first love. Revelation says, I have this against you. Revelation 2:2-2. You have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen and repent and do your deeds. Do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. We must declare our destiny is freedom. But in order to do that, we've got to recognize that we've got to return to our first love. We've got to go back to loving Jesus. And we could talk about marriage as the same thing. You know, I tell people all the time that if you want to rekindle your marriage, then you need to do what you were doing when you first started dating. And maybe if you didn't know Jesus, you were sinning. No, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about get back to doing what it calls you to fall in love. Good preaching, Pastor. We got to declare that destiny is our freedom. And this requires a little bit of explanation because the words in verse number 6, it says, he who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. That's a different version. But what that simply means is that carrying and bringing in this verse uses the same Hebrew word. It uses the same word. And the words of it is to lift up. It means that when you're carrying your seed out, lift it up unto God. And when you're bringing in your harvest, offer it back up to God. Lift it unto him. And what that means is whether you're planting or whether you're reaping, if you're giving a harvest, always lift it up to God because your soul is so dependent on God. We declare our freedom is by our fruit. All right, point number 3. I didn't even realize this until I just read my last one. The result of freedom from captivity. Let me give you 3 more. I've been in sets of 3 today. Amen. Now, and if I was Brian Cutshaw, I'd tell you, but 3 is the divine number. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Outer court, inner court, holiest of holies. You're made up of 3. Soul, spirit, heart. All right. So let me mention these 3. Let's go back to verse number 1. Here's what he said. When the Lord brought back the captivity ones of Zion, we were like those who were dreaming. See what happens? The results of freedom from captivity is you start to dream again. I want that to set in. For some, the devil stole your dreams. The devil stole your dreams. Dreams of ever being happy, dreams of ever being successful, dreams of ever having the freedom that you see some people walk in. The devil's a liar. God is alive. Let him restore to you today dreaming. Would you just declare with me, I will dream again. I will dream again. Hallelujah. I'm going to dream again. A sense of dreaming. The best way I can explain this is just to ask, have you ever seen an animal? You know, have you ever seen an animal that is set free from captivity? My sister-in-law has a dog, and it's a pit bull terrier. And that dog is about yay big, but it is the strongest dog I've ever been around. And you put a leash on that dog, has a tail on it, it'll whip the fire out of you with its tail on your legs. I'm like, quit, you stupid dog. But then you put it out there as soon as you open that door. So he's at the door. As soon as you open the door, shoom, it's gone. Why? It's been locked up, baby. And when that door is open, it's experiencing freedom. It has joy.
Joy. Man, I'm believing tonight somebody's going to get their joy back. I'm believing tonight somebody's going to get their joy back. I'm believing tonight that you're going to be set free. I'm believing tonight that you're coming out of captivity. You're going to start dreaming again, and you're going to get your joy back. If that's you, come on, look at somebody and say, that's me, man. I'm going to get my joy tonight. I'm getting it right now in the name of Jesus. Don't wait for me to lay hands on you. You can lay hands on yourself, man. It ain't me, it's Jesus. It ain't Bobby, it's Jesus. It ain't Sharon, it's Jesus. It's not George, it's Jesus. It's not anybody who lays hands on you. If you're going to get it back, it's not going to be because somebody laying a hand on you. It's because Jesus is laying his hands on you and you're getting your joy back. And you just need to go ahead and decide, I'm going to have my joy. I'm going to dream again. Hallelujah. See, I don't care what you're chained to today. Your destiny is freedom. I love the fact that, remember back in Acts chapter 12 when Peter was in prison, but the church made intercession for him continuously, and then the angel of the Lord came down and delivered him out of the prison and brought him over to the prayer meeting, and when he got to the prayer meeting, everybody couldn't believe that he was set free. There was a little girl named Rhoda, and she went in, and he knocked on the door, and she goes, oh my goodness, it's Peter. She didn't open it. She just ran and told everybody else. And when she went and told everybody else, they go, woman, you crazy. Girl, you crazy. You don't know what you're doing. And even Peter said, I didn't know if it was a dream or not. I didn't know if it was a dream or not. Oh my goodness. Some of you need to go ahead and declare and decide, I'm getting it back tonight. Here's verse number 2. What did verse 2 say? Verse 2 says, and then the mouth was filled with laughter. A mouth filled with laughter. The word laughter carries an interesting idea. It means to strut. Matter of fact, I even like it. If you go a little bit further in the Hebrew, it means to strut with defiance. That means a pimp walk. Check me out. You know, listen, when I read that earlier, when I read that description, here's what I thought about. I've told you that Sherry's ex-boyfriend came to my wedding. And I went past him, I was strutting. I was walking out. I wish I could find the picture. But we were walking out, and they got a picture of me looking at him with her on my arm going. What that is? That's strutting with some defiance. Yeah, bro, I got her. That's what I'm talking about. She's mine. You lost. That's what I'm talking about. You a loser. Right? But that's what that means, is that laughter filled their mouth. It's a strut, defiance, lion pride. See, not all pride is bad. A godly pride is good. Man, you look at the devil. Devil, you thought you had me, Joker. But here I am. Look at me. Look at me now. You thought I was down, but it's a booyah moment. Yeah, all of a sudden, you thought I was down and out. You thought I was about to go do something I shouldn't. But booyah! Here I am. Verses 2 and 3. Talks about joyful shouting and gladness. But note what the heathen say, man. Joy is the opposite of weeping. Now hear me closely. Come on back so I'll shut up, guys. Repentance, brokenness, and weeping will lead to joy. Now, I don't like it, but it will. When you are repentant, when you are broken, when you are weeping, it will lead to joy. Psychologists tell us that everybody, every once in a while, needs a catharsis, which means you just need a good cry. Now listen to me, guys. Don't do that at Walmart. That's not the time to do it. All right? But, you know, if you were raised like me, I mean, I was raised, you know, men don't cry. But I learned that if your head leaks, it don't swell. But I ain't going to break down in Walmart. Them handing me Xanax. You need one of these, bro.
day is coming. A day's coming. And today might be yours. I wish I could say, today's everybody's day, but I'm not God. I don't know that. But I believe tonight's somebody's night. I believe tonight is somebody's night. And the day's coming when all of our struggles will be over. Isaiah 65 says this. For behold, I create new heavens and new earth. And the former things will not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing and her people for gladness. I will also rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. And there will no longer be heard in her voice the voice of weeping and the sound of crying. Glory to God. It's Isaiah chapter 65. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6 verse 34, here's what the Bible says. When they sin against you, for there is no man who does not sin, and you are angry with them and deliver them to an enemy, so that they take them away captive to a land far off or near. If they take thought in the land where they are taken captive. Now hear me. Don't miss over this. If they take thought while you're in the land of captivity and repent and make supplication to you in the land of their captivity, wherever you might be, he say, if you repent and make if you repent and make supplication, if they will return, verse 38, if they will return to you with all their heart, with all their soul in their land, even in the land of their captivity, where they have been taken captive, and pray toward their land, which you have given to their fathers, and the city which you have chosen, and toward the house which I have built in your name. Basically saying, if all thoughts come back, if you repent, if you return to God, here's what he says, then you will hear from heaven, from your dwelling place, their prayer and supplication, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you. So yeah, church, we must repent. Well, Pastor, I did repent when I got saved. That might be the problem. The joy and gladness that comes from a right relationship. You know, my wife and I have been married for 34 years in February. And I wish I could tell you that it's all been wonderful and great. A lot of it has. Most of it has. But sometimes she just don't act right. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But can I tell you, baby, just stand up. People look at you, see, trying to find you. Stand up. Come on, baby. Not everybody. Just not everybody. There she is. That's my first wife. The only wife. But I love her. And even though sometimes we get off track, it's always wonderful when we come back together. You know, living, how many knows, living in the same house, not getting along is not fun. And some of us are that way with God. But man, when we get back on the right track, when we get back together, it is joy, it is gladness. It is joy and full of glory. Would you stand to your feet tonight? I honestly wasn't sure how I was going to close tonight's message. But I really sense, man, and really feel that there needs to be a return back to Him.
Well, Pastor, I'm all right. If you even have to question it, then you need to come. And I want us to come down to the altar. I'm not going to ask anybody to pray over you. I'm not going to pray over you unless the Lord just specifically speaks to me to do. But some of you said you're going to get your joy back tonight. If that's you, whatever it is, come on. I know it's a lot of us here tonight, but let's just gather around the altars. And I want you come. Let God lay His hand on you. Lord, I've come to get my joy. I've come to get out of freedom or out of captivity and get my freedom in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's lift up our hands, lift up our voices. I want you to forget who's around you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.